Well, I want to just ask you to just bow your heads and just ask the Lord for grace right now, because without His grace, you know what we're going to accomplish, don't you? So you know. So, that's one of my markers, huh? Yeah. Father, I ask for your grace right now and for your word to come alive, because without your Holy Spirit, we're just going to be talking. So please, have your way with me, Lord. Have your way with these words so that your light may shine on these words and life may come from them. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
There was a very strong urge to go to the Amplified today and to go to Romans 15. And there's been a struggle about walls and how walls can be put up, not only to stop your enemies, but also to stop your progress. And there are times that we don't even realize what we're doing until it's already done. So I'd like you to start at verse 1. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings and the frailties and the tender scruples of the weak. We ought to help carry the doubts and qualms of others and not to please ourselves. After that verse, who needs to go any further? I stress that I did not include the parentheses part, because I felt it wasn't really necessary. We who are strong ought to bear with the failings and the frailties and the tender scruples of the weak. We ought to help carry the doubts and qualms of others and not to please ourselves. Let each one of us make it a practice to please his neighbor for his good and for his true welfare, to edify him. That is, to strengthen him and build him up spiritually. I said, Lord, I don't even know if I want to continue, because this is taking all the self that I have left and it is squishing it like one of those grapes. Because it's not going to be all about me, it's going to be all about them. For Christ gave no thought, that's the parentheses part, to his own interest, to please himself. But as it is written, the reproach and abuses, did you hear that? The reproach and the abuses I've got two pages stuck together, sorry. Of those who reproach and abuse you fell on me. Now that's an incredible comment. Psalms 69:9 will verify that. And I don't want you to go there. I just want you to keep that in mind so that you can realize that those who approach and reproach you and abuse, the abuse falls on the Lord. Why? Because he's resident in us. If someone is yelling and screaming at you over something about the Lord, and they're angry, their anger is really not at you. This is going to fall on the Lord if you let it. There was a comment made, and I heard, don't respond. If you respond, you're going to take the offense. Well, everything in me wanted to respond. Everything inside of me was screaming. I saw the beast with its teeth, you know. The Antichrist. Screaming. And it was right inside. It wasn't next door. It wasn't coming from the outside. It was inside. And I could already hear the thought patterns to justify, I will, I will, I will. And I wrote down some of this stuff. And the Lord showed me the I wills after. Yeah. Do you think I liked it? When I put those red circles around the I will, I said, oh my God, there it is, Satan himself, the beast, right inside giving me all the excuses that I am justified in what I'm doing.
Amen.
Amen.
So I am very blessed that we're not alone. That beast is very alive and wrestling with it. Isn't going to work. It's got to die. And that was kind of neat. I gave it back to the Lord. I repented for the pride because I knew that's what was underneath. You know, self-defense. I mean, let's face it. I mean, I want it my way and I'm all done fighting with this thing and I'm going to let Jesus do what he wants with me. But that doesn't mean that that beast is not responding. It doesn't mean that it is laying dead. It means that it's very much alive. Its teeth are showing. The anger, I could feel it. And I was very wrong. And I said, now you've got to give me a plan of restoration. I don't know what to do, how to repair what was already done. Because you see, there was already a few words that were given. Now, I didn't feed the next level, but a few words already had already come out. And it caused some damage. Oh, boy. So now, you know, I'm getting all the backlash. And the Lord says, just do not take it in. Do not respond. Because if you do, you will be taking on the responsibility. The approach and the reproach is now going to be falling on him if I let it go. If I keep defending, it's now on me. And the beast comes up. Okay? If you think I'm teasing you, I've got my notes. I could read them to you. And I don't think you want to hear it. For whatever, verse 4, was thus written in former days, was written for our instruction. That is, by our steadfast and patience, endurance and encouragement drawn from the scriptures, we might hold fast and cherish hope. Hope is something that, you know, sometimes gets so mistreated. Hope is the substance. It is really a substance of a gift from God that somehow, some way, you're going to make it through. And you hope for the impossible and pray for the impossible, and then believe that he can do it. So verse 5 says, now may the God who gives the power of patient endurance. I said, whoa, attention, Kim, wake up. God gives the power and patient endurance, who supplies encouragement. You like it? Then I would say, close your eyes. And repeat after me. Now may God.
Now may God.
Who gives the power.
Who gives the power.
Of patient endurance.
Of patient endurance.
And who supplies encouragement.
And who supplies encouragement.
And grants me to live.
And grants me to live.
In such mutual harmony.
In such mutual harmony.
And such full sympathy.
In such full sympathy.
With one another.
With one another.
In accord with Christ Jesus.
In accord with Christ Jesus.
Isn't that cool? See, God gives you the power. If you're trying to do it on your own, the beast wins. If you rely on his power and his patient endurance to be supplied and the encouragement. Now, how many sometimes get discouraged? Well, there's your answer. And there's my answer. Because what was happening is I was getting discouraged instead of being encouraged. Got it? And God is the one that supplies the encouragement. As we live in mutual harmony and such full sympathy with one another. Now, you see, this is for the body. Because I recall hearing from the Lord not too long ago, time to grow up. Time to mature. And those things that have been troubling us has to be visible in order for us to change it. I remember saying that to somebody, and even to myself, Lord, you're showing it to me. I don't like what I see. I'm not happy about it. But I am grateful that I can go to you. And this Romans 15 is giving the response of how I should face this thing. Because if I don't face it with God, I'm going to fail. If I don't let this thing fall when the words of accusation come, I will then respond and I become the offended one. And I then get my defense mechanism and pride's back on the throne. Yeah. And that wonderful comment of, I should have done and I should have done has never been spoken. And so I need to pull back. I need to let him empower me. I need to help, let him supply the encouragement. So now verse 6 says, that together you may, with united hearts and one voice, praise and glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ the Messiah. Welcome and receive one another, then, even as Christ has welcomed and received you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ, the Messiah, became a servant and a minister to the circumcised, meaning the Jew, in order to show God's truthfulness and honesty by confirming the promise given to our fathers. Amen? And also in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for the mercy to them, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. Psalms 18. Again, it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, along with his own people. Deuteronomy 32:43. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentile nations. Let all the people praise you. Notice it's nations. Again, nationalities. And further, Isaiah says, there shall be a sprout from the root of Jesse. He rises to rule over the Gentiles. To him shall the Gentiles hope. May the God of our hope so fill you with joy and peace in believing through experience. Put a circle around through experience, because if you don't have a circle there, you're in trouble. Because it's got to be something that you taste by living it. Through the experience of your faith, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound and be overflowing with hope. Personally, I am satisfied about you, my brethren, that you yourselves are rich in goodness, amply filled with all spiritual knowledge, or all knowledge, and competent to admonish and counsel and instruct one another. Ha ha! It's not the pastor's job.
Makes you happy, doesn't it?
Oh, it sure does. Gets me off the hook. And I said, Lord, instruct one another. That's the people doing the work. And the people doing the work on the job, off the job, in the house, out of the house, in the yard, with the neighbor, with the other, on the phones, ministering to each other. So, kind of neat, huh? You like it? Can we do it? Can we do it, Gail?
By grace, yes.
By grace, yes. All right. By grace, yes. How many can agree that by grace we can do this?
Amen.
Who's going to give grace to you?
Yourself.
He or you?
He'll give grace, but you allow it.
Ah, and you got to speak it. Okay? Why don't you try it? Put your hand on your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I'm going to speak grace to me. Because I need it. I know it comes from you. And the words out of my mouth will create what I speak. And right now I'm speaking grace.
And right now I'm speaking grace.
To the inner man.
To the inner man.
And I'm saying, soul, get quiet before God.
I'm saying, soul, get quiet before
That's my mind, my will, and my emotions.
That's my mind, my will, and my emotions.
Be quiet before God.
Be quiet before God.
And let the spirit man.
And let the spirit man.
Filled with grace.
Filled with grace.
Just like Mary was filled with grace.
Just like Mary was filled with grace.
Because she spoke to herself. Just maybe I could carry the Messiah.
Just maybe I could carry the Messiah.
And just maybe.
Just maybe.
I'm carrying him right now.
Carrying him.
It's up to me to believe.
It's up to me to believe.
That I'm fully alive in Christ.
That I'm fully alive in Christ.
And he is alive in me.
And he is alive in
me. And he can manifest through me.
And he can manifest.
With the hope of tomorrow.
With the hope of tomorrow.
Being full of grace.
Being full of grace.
So that I can give it out.
So that I can give it out.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
I pray.
I pray.
How does that sit with you? Can it be done in this generation? Can we prepare the next generation?
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm about to give you a little teaser. You can study the rest of this chapter because there's a lot of it in it. Good stuff, okay? But the beginning was really the part that really, really was ministering to me. And this afternoon, I met someone that I hadn't expected, but it was kind of neat. I had to go run an errand at Walmart for my mother, and I ran into Pastor Dale. And he just had a birthday, and they really surprised him Sunday, and I had heard about it, so it's kind of cool that they celebrated his birthday. And they did some skits, and they did all kinds of things. I guess they just took over the whole service, and he had a wonderful message from the Lord. He says, Jim, it was so wonderful. I had it all put out, ready to give, and he says, they didn't let me open my mouth. And so we had a good time talking about that. But I said to him, the Holy Spirit has really laid a real heavy piece of info in my heart, and I want to give it to you. Because I said, I really was planning to kind of give you a buzz and see what you thought about it, because there's no scripture that I know that can verify it. But because I'm working on me, how many are working on themselves?
Amen.
So you can all qualify, okay? Because I'm working on me and trying very desperately to get this beast out of the way and to radically expound him and get him out of there, this is what I heard. I was driving. I know it was God. And the Lord said to my heart, in the freedom that you have attained in the flesh, when you walk into my realm, whether it's death in the natural or death in the spirit, you will have the freedom in that realm that you have attained in this realm. I began to ponder and said, okay. That means that I got some more work to do on me. Meaning that if I go into the other side filled with fear tactics and defense mechanism, even if I am in the realm of the spirit, I will be bound by those forces. Not very funny, huh? So I said to the Lord, you know, this is good stuff. I'm blessed that, and I wrote it down. I wouldn't lose it. I'm not going to lose that one. I said, Lord, what are you really asking me to do? And he said, I'm asking you to follow one step at a time. You know, one thing that I've told the body of believers way, way back in the middle 80s, and the Holy Spirit showed me that people who had been delivered went right back to their swine ways. Excuse the expression, but that's exactly what they did. They were delivered. They were set free. They were prayed for. They were given freedom as a free gift from God. And people interceded and prayed and pushed and shoved and got them freed up. And they went right back, and they were really worse than they were before. And I said, whoa, something's wrong here. The body of Christ, instead of growing, is crushed by all this flesh that's being pushed around. Because people were delivering under the anointing of flesh rather than the anointing of the Spirit of God. And so I ended up with a new motto, because the Lord said to me, let them work on themselves, by themselves, give them the information, and if they want to feed themselves, that's up to them. Pull back. So the new motto was, the best deliverance is self-deliverance. Get on the job, clean yourself up. Okay? Now, I know that it says in Mark 16 it's to cast out devils and all that good stuff, yes. But not under the power of fleshy minds and fleshy Christians. All right? I believe the church was allowed to do that for a little while, because it is truth. However, they were flooded with mercy and grace. And praise God, many of them got definitely wounded and hurt, because there was not enough wisdom in those that were teaching at that time to really release freedom to the captives. And I believe that when the anointing comes, which I believe it's coming very soon, that the body of Christ is going to go back into action, they will also be teaching them to how to use the Word of God as a tool to set themselves free. You will definitely be an instrument to teach them and to counsel them and to love them into harmony with God. But giving them the Word of God, giving them the anointing to be able to respond to the enemy, to humble themselves. Because when you humble yourself, the enemy cannot stick around. They're definitely going to leave. There's no yelling season. There's no screaming season. You don't see Jesus screaming at himself to get rid of the weaknesses of his fathers. Do you? Do you see Daniel screaming at himself to get rid of the weaknesses of his fathers? Do you? What did he do? He fasted and prayed. He got serious with God. And he repented for his fathers. And the repentance of your fathers is part of that priesthood which I've taught you. Then it went to the next level, because in Hebrews it says that these on the other side will not be completed until we're completed. So he's waiting for a generation to be serious enough to get themselves cleaned up. That's what he's waiting for. That's the bride that's going to be without spot or wrinkle. Every enemy will become what? A footstool. Now, you remember how many times Doug taught on that when he came? The enemy is to become your footstool. The very thing that you can't stand, that you're afraid of, will become something that you're going to stand on and use as something that's going to lift you up. That's what a footstool does. And so I believe that the Holy Spirit is preparing us for one of the major feasts that we've had in years to come. It's going to be an awesome time that I sense God's just going to do something very, very dramatic in this Passover season. Okay? And we need to be ready to be empty ourselves and to be poured out as He shows us to be poured out. And when we are poured out, we will grow and mature. Because he cannot use babies. He's not going to. Now, I remember the word that was very clear. Don't wait till you're all perfect before you can pray for somebody. Because that's a poor excuse. Don't wait that you're perfect and your act is all perfect before you counsel someone or comfort them. Do it right now. You're ready. You're able. And you're more than capable in Christ. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, there are times that you're going to be told by the Lord, be quiet, this one is not for you. Did you ever get ready to go minister to somebody? And the Lord says, pull your nose back. Because you're going to lose your nose. And you might lose a couple of ears and toes and hands and whatever. Amen? Okay. So when you're supposed to pull back, you've got to be hearing from the Lord to pull back. Because you just might be stepping in a hornet's nest. And guess what hornets do? How many of you have ever got stung before? Thank you. So again, the Holy Spirit is teaching us in Romans 15 that yes, there's hope for these tomorrows. And there's a way of God that's being prepared for us to go forward. But he can't bring us there until we are fully able to say we're going to trust him every step of the way. We're going to work with him on these situations and to let his Spirit be ruling us by the best of our ability. Now, that doesn't mean we're not going to make mistakes and I won't make any more mistakes. I pray I won't, but by the history of the past, it's pretty bad. I see lots of boo-boos yet. Okay? Instruction is definitely the name of the game, and we're not there, but we are on the way. Amen? The gift of unity was also the other gift that he said. Unity. Unity in the body. Harmony in the body. It's got to be. If it's not there, we need to pray for it. If the enemy tries to crop up like he did, remember the vision with the two and the one?
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. Okay? That two and the one, he doesn't want this body of believers to come up. He doesn't want this marvelous body of saints working as a team to gain control of this area. That's what all those visions were on Sunday. Did you remember? There was war in the mountain.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And there was war in this room. Wow. It's not this physical
room, but yes.
And it was very, very intense. That thing did not want to let us go. But it did not win, and praise God it won't win again. But as we humble ourselves and work together, the Holy Spirit will do the rest. Amen? Mm-hmm. Any additional? Okay. Mm-hmm. Father, we ask that now that this word will not only be a healing balm to us, but a hope is created. Not only that we will be obedient, but that your angels are on the job against all the darkness that would try to overwhelm us. As we rest with you, those angels will do the work that only they can do. We trust you, Lord Jesus, as we see the darkness trying to overwhelm us. We trust you to let your Spirit do the walking as we obey every step of the way. In Jesus' name. Jason Hudson.